This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The death toll in Central Texas has now reached 110 people, but the more staggering number is 170 still missing after the July 4th flash flooding. Eloise Jones was one of the girls from Camp Mystic who survived and says she was shocked by what she saw the night the water began rising.
From our cabins, we could see the highway, and you usually can't see that, so we could see all the way past all the trees that used to be there, and then we realized, like, we can't stay here.
Camp Mystic lost 27 campers and counselors and is still missing 5 campers and 1 counselor. 3 people were killed overnight in Ruidoso, New Mexico, where recent wildfires have made the area more prone to flash flooding. City of Philadelphia has reached a tentative agreement with 9,000 city workers who have been on strike since the beginning of the month. The rank and file still need to vote on it. Ukraine's Air Force says Russia sent a record 728 drones into Ukraine overnight. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is advising residents to be on the lookout for another invasive insect that's been spreading towards the state. The Asian longhorn beetle has not been confirmed in Wisconsin yet, but it has spread to neighboring Midwest states like Ohio. The invasive beetle is most active during the summer months and poses a threat to trees that shed their leaves every fall. They're typically a little over an inch long and have a shiny black body with white spots and long antennae with black and white stripes. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is reminding residents to be on the lookout for potential scams during the holiday sales season. According to a press release, July is a popular time for businesses of all sizes to offer discounts for July 4th or the summer season in general. That means it's also a popular time for scammers to target potential victims with misleading advertisements or look-alike websites. The Better Business Bureau is reminding residents to be wary of social media ads, fake package delivery messages, and unsecure websites. Tax credits have helped a biohealth company on Madison's West Side add about 200 new jobs. Catalent Pharmacy Solutions makes all kinds of treatments and is spending about $45 million on expanding. Governor Tony Evers praised the company's growth, saying Wisconsin's workforce, universities, and culture of innovation are making the state a hub for the biohealth and biotech industries. The company is getting as much as $2 million in tax credits from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. The State Journal reports this is the fourth time over the last 15 years or so that the state has supported Catalent's growth. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A win for the Miz and McGill. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers wrap up their series this afternoon in Milwaukee. Last night, the Miz, rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, followed by Jared Koenig, Abner Uribe, and closer Trevor McGill, held the struggling Dodgers to just one run in a 3-1 win over LA last night. It was enough to leave the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw at a loss for words.
I mean, the three guys that came out of the pen for them, plus him, I mean, I don't think we saw a fastball under 98 today as a team. I mean, this was just a tough game.
The Dodgers have now lost 5 in a row. The Brewers' Mizorowski gave up a solo home run to LA's leadoff batter, Shohei Ohtani, then proceeded to strike out 12 Dodger batters over 6 innings to beat the 3-time Cy Young winner, Clayton Kershaw. I spoke to the Miz after the game.
You know, I saw something on online that he didn't know who I was, so I hope that he knows me now, you know. It's kind of cool.
That's Brewers pitcher Jacob Mizorowski with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, nice and clear. We'll drop to 63 for a low. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high of 84 with a chance of thunderstorms tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Celly Flores, a DACA recipient. We'll explore what it was like watching the 2024 election unfold and what it's like now watching Donald Trump attack immigrants from coast to coast.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
A new and improved Pat Kreitlow, apparently. Good morning, it's 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, July 9th, 2025. Parker Olson standing by in Madison Studio A2. Coming up later this hour, we will be talking to Heather Dubois-Bornon and Corinne Hendrickson, and we'll be talking about child care, and we'll be talking about public education. They both are leading advocates for those areas, and they are not happy with the results of the state budget. And you may say, well, okay, if there are people on both sides who are unhappy with what's in a state budget, then it must be a good bipartisan document, right? No. No, not necessarily at all. And you can count Heather and Corinne among them. Corinne will be talking to us all about what the shortcomings were for child care in the budget. Heather, from a public education standpoint, like no increase in general state aids for schools and things like that. And how does that carry over into next year when people are running for legislature and maybe even for governor? So that's coming up a little after 7:30 today. A little after 7:30 tomorrow, we'll be talking to Congressman Mark Bocan, so stick around for that tomorrow. And then back to today at 8:30, we'll be talking to State Senator Kelda Royce and talking about a state Supreme Court decision from yesterday that reins in one of the ways that Republicans were abusing their power in the majority in the state legislature. But first, let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who's just a little late today, wasn't in time for the great reveal on Pigeon Quest. But in case you missed it, Brittany, up on the screen on social media, there is the former paint bucket who now identifies as Lilu. And Lilu is, well, we get the photo because Lilu was lying low and a little shy. But eventually, I predict Lilu will be on Melissa Kay's shoulder helping you read the forecast. As if Lilu's a parrot, you know. I don't think pigeons can recite things back, but, you know, Melissa Kay is a good teacher. You never know.
You never know, right? You never know. Oh, that is so cute. She's just on the top of that whole thing in the castle of pigeons over there. Gotta love it.
That's what she called it. She called it the castle.
She called it the castle. Yeah, not a dog kennel. No. Not a repurposed kennel. It is a castle for a pigeon. So we're very happy for her about that.
And absolutely.
You know, spirits are a little upbeat here today because it's been such nice weather. Yes, some places got rain, storms, whatnot, but
good day to be a pigeon.
Good day to be a pigeon, it's a good day to open up all the windows. I've done that already today. It feels amazing in here. You know, not going to run up the electric bill today anyway with the air conditioner. So does it stick around?
Oh, well, you know, it is nice to save a little bit of money, a little bit of energy today, because yes, like you said, just today.
You let us down so gently on that. I like that.
I know. I'm going to break it to you easy. The mugginess does move back in as soon as tomorrow. We are looking at heavy rain and storms moving in on Friday. Maybe a little comfortable break on Saturday, but more humidity spills in Sunday and into early next week. So it's summer. That's why the hair is curly. There's no escaping it, really. It's only temporary day at a time. As we go through today, we are looking at dense fog in places. So there's a lot of sunshine west in the state and south. A lot of fog far north into central areas and far south as well, with a dense fog advisory for Bayfield, Ashland, Iron, and even south of Madison into Janesville. So that will start to clear as we go through the next hour or two. We do have a high pressure system in place all day today, and so that means some pretty calm winds, and that's why the fog is here. So another chance for some fog overnight tonight and through tomorrow morning, but otherwise we're staying sunny and dry today, mostly dry tomorrow. A few showers do want to spark up in the western parts of the state later in the afternoon, and maybe some thunderstorms south, but overall, most of the state, sunny and dry for 2 days. Today's highs, mid-80s far south, mid-70s far north. And then tomorrow we'll all be in the low to mid 80s. And again, more mugginess starting to move back in.
Very much, you know, a summer forecast. Rob tells us from Tigerton, getting into the dog days of summer here. Says, good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy and 63. Busy mowing lawn in the Tigerton area yesterday. With the rain and the warmth and the humid weather, mowing has been a nonstop job, but I can't complain. He says yesterday Tigerton had 13 one-hundredths of an inch of rain. He's got 6 yards today to do in Tigerton, a doctor's appointment in Shawano. He loved hearing Alan O'Day's Undercover Angel in our last segment, popular back in the late 1970s. He loves that old pop music from there. And he says, talk about a happy H, high pressure system. Brittany's the very happy meteorologist, the best in media. Well, yeah, when you bring us happy high pressure like this. This is lovely.
I could stay for a whole week. I'll work on it for end of July or something. I'll try my best. But I was thinking, Rob's tan must be outrageous with how much he is outside and doing stuff and cutting the grass.
Good.
You know?
That's true.
It's got to be that full-on farmer's tan.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, when he's shirtless, you just see this red V, you know, down his neckline, and then the very well-defined where the short sleeves end. Yeah.
I love it.
Lou doesn't love a good farmer's tan. All right, Brittany, thank you. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
While we're doing comments online, and you can make comments on Facebook or YouTube, go to the Up North News or Civic Media pages for Facebook or YouTube. Last hour, we attempted to explain the state Supreme Court decision, and it was on its surface about so-called conversion therapy, but it really got into the ways that Republicans have been abusing the legislative rulemaking process. Arthur writes, Pat, you are so good at explaining complicated democracy rules, and I hope the Democrats can find an advertising agency capable of condensing your words for a campaign message. Democrats must be elected to see any forward progress. All the people of Wisconsin must see how their own representatives are voting. Thank you, Ardith. I appreciate the kind words very much, and we will talk about it again at 8:30 when we catch up with State Senator Kelda Royce to talk about that. Looking at our 7:30 conversation with Heather Dubois-Bornon and Corrine Hendrickson, here's a comment on Facebook. The Republican strategy is to threaten drastic cuts, even when we have a huge surplus. Then Democrats pretend it's a win when the cuts don't happen or where there is a token increase. That is not a compromise. That's extortion at the expense of our kids and families. And the thing I like about that comment is it's an equal opportunity thing. It says that, you know, Democrats are accepting things as a win that aren't necessarily any kind of a big win, but that, you know, Republicans are essentially engaged in extortion and have not been adequately called out for it. You know, at a time of a $4 billion state surplus, for Republicans to talk like they did 2 weeks ago that they would actually cut the UW system by $87 million rather than give it a funding increase. I mean, it should have been just raining bricks on them for saying this is what you're going to do when we finally have a surplus, is you're going to cut UW funding because you're so petty, because you get your feelings hurt so easily. And they didn't really get that. I mean, why would they? The state budget is not the kind of thing most people pay a lot of attention to. But there wasn't nearly enough condemnation for it, so that when they ultimately agreed with Governor Evers to a modest increase, it makes it look like a win for them when, you know, the win only comes after a certain degree of extortion. And I know that our guests at 7:30 are going to have some things to say about whether these are real wins in the child care and education spheres. And now, to be fair, and I'm sure you'll hear this from me in the next half hour, is that, you know, we have divided government here. We have Republicans running the legislature, a Democrat in the governor's office. And, you know, so there's also that argument that says, you know, if you don't accept half a loaf, you're going to get no loaf at all. And maybe this actually was the best compromise that could be achieved between the two sides. I'm not going to tell you one side is right or the other. I'm going to give them all a forum for them to present their points of view and then for you to ultimately make a decision. But here's the thing. The decision you're ultimately making is a binary one. Ultimately, whatever you think of whether Democrats did enough or not in this budget, there's going to be a Democrat on the ballot for your seat in the Assembly and for State Senate, and there's going to be a Republican on there. And I can guarantee the Republican is not going to say, well, I always supported an increase for the UW system. I always supported more money for child care. Or if they do say that, well, there's a good chance they're fibbing. They would have been very happy to go along with a budget that did not fund these things, and they would have then talked all about fiscal conservatism and fiscal restraint and being good stewards of the tax dollar, even as more child care centers close up and even as more public schools go to referendum. So there can absolutely be dissatisfaction with the Democratic side of things, but if this carries over into 2026, there could be tremendous ramifications in the 2027 budget. Because if there were to be a Governor Tom Tiffany, for example, and a Republican-led Assembly and Senate, the modest gains that were achieved this time around are going to look like a faraway fantasy for some future budget. So we're going to let people, you know, express their dissatisfaction with how much better we could be doing. But the only true way we're going to be doing better is if people next year do not sit out the process and get involved and fight for the team that's fighting for them, even if it doesn't always appear to be fighting as hard as you would like them to be. I wish I had an easier answer for you, but that is how politics work in a two-party system. And unfortunately, for a whole host of reasons, that's the one that we got with us right now. Also in the news, there was an endorsement in the state Supreme Court race for next year. Senator Tammy Baldwin endorsing appeals court judge Chris Taylor. Again, it looks like Judge Chris Taylor will be going up against incumbent conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley next April. Justice Bradley talking about wanting to serve another term, but I don't know that she's made the formal announcement of the campaign. And Senator Baldwin already getting involved endorsing Judge Taylor, along with the three current liberal justices and Justice-elect Susan Crawford, who have all endorsed Judge Chris Taylor as well. All right, let's turn to sports now at 7:18, because that was a fun one to watch last night. Jacob Mizorowski back on the mound and starts off the game going two strikes to Shohei Ohtani. Strike one, strike two. Crowd's getting all jazzed up. Here comes the third pitch, and Shohei Ohtani sends it over the center field wall 431 feet to give the Dodgers the early lead. Did Mizorowski get shaken up by this? No, he struck out the next five Dodger batters and ended up yielding only four hits and one walk. And he outdueled three-time Cy Young Award winner Clayton Kershaw as the Brewers pulled ahead by scoring two runs off Kershaw in the fourth inning and defeated the Dodgers last night by a score of 3-1. The Dodgers have now lost four games in a row. But Mizorowski did six strong innings, followed by Jared Kinnig, Abner Uribe, and Trevor McGill, and they did not allow a base runner over those last three innings. The two teams wrap up their three-game series this afternoon. You can catch the pregame on several Civic Media stations, including stations up north in Hayward and Park Falls, way down south in Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, Richland Center. If you're anywhere there, tune into your local Civic Media station and hear the Brewers pregame coverage at 12:35 this afternoon. Then the Brewers will be off tomorrow, but they stay home. And coming to town for the weekend will be the Washington Nationals. They'll play those games over the weekend, and then it's time for the All-Star break already. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Contact D&T Well Service for well service and replacement. Mary and Derek McCormick, owners of D&T Well Service, are insured, and they do new installs and fix existing systems. Submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Well Service, 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Well Service, 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people who voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Today we're talking about Ithaca Schools, and we have a chance and a golden opportunity here to introduce you to Claire Federle, the district administrator for Ithaca, just taking over that role. Brandon Federle, high school, middle school principal, and Sarah Dilley, Ithaca Elementary School principal. We welcome along. Brandon, you told me we were walking in here today that this is your 20th anniversary of being on the show, right?
It was 239 months ago when I was first on the morning show, and it's been a great 20 years. So
who's counting?
It's the mathematician in me.
Yes, it is. So it's a new role for you. That gives us a good transition. How does it feel to be moving primarily from the classroom to a new position?
Equal parts exciting and scary. The trust that the community has in me is very, very humbling. And I do want to say the kids are great kids. I tell that to the students in the building so much so that they repeat it after me. It's a privilege to be able to teach at Ithaca. It reminded me of why I came to Richland Center in the first place, and I hope to build on that and help these kids achieve great things.
So you've taught at the collegiate level. You know, there's quite a difference, but did it kind of reinvigorate you when you went back to, you know, teaching at a little bit lower level?
There's not as much of a difference as you might think.
Really?
The biggest difference between the collegiate level and the high school level is the time required for a break. The collegiate kids, you can expect we're going to go 50 or 75 minutes and you just have to keep up. At the high school level, they're not doing anything different, but they do have to take a little bit of a break every, I would say, 20 minutes. Stop, reset, clear your mind, and then let's go again. I can honestly say, having taught Ithaca students for 20 years in some way, shape, or form, they are perfectly capable, and there's no drop-off at all.
We welcome another Dr. Federle in the studio, Claire Federle. Good to have you in here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Really nice to meet you. So tell us a little bit about your background.
So, like you said, I'm a little bit more local, Brandon, as you mentioned.
I grew up in Waniwok and then have taught for Dells and Reedsburg. I had some time at CESA 5, very familiar with those systems. I actually got my master's through a CESA 3 cohort, so I was going to Fenimore and I've been in the area a lot. And I just really deeply love small rural school districts. And so I'm never leaving Reedsburg and being married to Mike Federley. And so I always said that I wanted to work at Waniwok, Weston, or Ithaca and be the administrator there. And I believe in service leadership and being a servant to those around you. And so having a small rural building is exactly where I want to be. And so yeah, this opportunity came up and I took it.
So you were aware of Ithaca long before you took the job.
Oh, yes. Working at Weston, you are very aware of Ithaca. We're right next door.
Good rivalry, right?
It was, yes.
Absolutely. But what attracted you to the job then again?
Many, many things. The first and foremost, the culture. I have, like I said, going to high school at Waniwok, I've been in the building before and actually have a friend who said it always felt like it should smell like grapes in there because of all the purple. Like Ithaca does such a wonderful job of communicating their spirit and being a bulldog and school colors and pride. And it's always something that I wanted to be part of. And I'm like shocked and honored that I get to be now.
So you took over officially then, right?
Yes.
A few days ago?
July 1.
So you're fresh at it. So we can't really ask you how the job's going, I guess. Because
it's going great. No complaints.
But this time of year, what are some things you typically do or you're focusing on?
Well, I've been meeting with the principals pretty extensively. We have lots of things on the horizon that we want to investigate and make sure are going really well. This is the first year for all three of us, which I think is a blessing because our collaboration is going to be incredibly strong because the three of us are learning together, and to emulate that is nearly impossible. We have three fresh perspectives to come at this and an extensive amount of knowledge in a variety of different areas. I'm very blessed to have both of them. And so it's our year of learning, but also our year of, what about this? So it should be fun.
We have another new member of the administration team to introduce you to. Sarah Dilley is here. Sarah, how are you?
Hello, I'm well, thank you.
Good to have you. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I started in education over 20 years ago, a graduate from UW-Platteville in elementary ed with a special ed inclusion minor. Most recently, I was teaching special education, so I'm happy to have that as part of my repertoire coming into this position. I think it'll be very helpful. I've also served as a general education teacher and an interventionist, and I was formerly at Ithaca and served as the alternate administrator, so I have some experience in the district.
Right, so you've had some background with Ithaca before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So what attracted you back to the building?
I think what I've heard so far, I can agree fully with the culture. The community is like none that I've seen. It's a special place at Ithaca, and good things are happening there.
So they've expanded a little bit. I know the 4K program is alive and well. Could you tell us about that? Is there anything you'd like to update us with that?
I can. I'm excited to share a couple of great programs that we offer at our school to support families with consistent care for children throughout the day. First, we have what's called our wraparound program, and this is specifically for our 4K students enrolled at the Ithaca District. Our 4K program runs on a half-day schedule, either in the morning or the afternoon. When students aren't in their classroom session, they're welcomed into that wraparound care program, which offers structured supervision and activities during the rest of the day. And the best part of that is it's completely free. And if your child is enrolled in a program in another district and their school happens to be closed for the day, we are welcoming those children as well on those days as long as space is available. So we're here to support working families however we can. And in addition to that, we have before and after school care for children in 4K through 8th grade. And this program is open to families from any community, not just those in the Ithaca District. Our hours are from 6 to 7:30 in the morning and again from 3:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon. And that cost is $4 per hour. And for families who may need a little help, we do have financial assistance options available.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yesterday, U.S. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins rolled out a brand new initiative involving agriculture as a key component to protecting national security. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. This is something that all of agriculture is paying attention to. Sam Kiefer is the Vice President of Public Policy at the American Farm Bureau Federation. He explains the plan and what it covers as he knows it right now.
Well, it's a seven-part plan for addressing agriculture security, and it includes limiting ownership of American farmland by adversaries of the United States. Also involves enhancing supply chain resilience and safeguarding both plant and animal health. Perhaps most importantly, the Agriculture Secretary has been added to the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States.
Sam Kiefer with the American Farm Bureau Federation. He says another element is that Brooke Rollins has now been added to the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. They investigate and consider, approve, or disapprove any business in the U.S. that's merging with or being acquired by foreign investors. So definitely powerful when it comes to the food supply chain. Kiefer says we also need to keep things in perspective on this land ownership issue. He said right now only about 3% of all privately held U.S. agricultural land is foreign owned. Markets are next.
In my County Farm Bureau, I'm more than a member. I'm an advocate for local farms and families. Serving on the board has given me a chance to create real change in our community. From organizing volunteer opportunities to promoting agriculture at local events, we connect our neighbors to the farms that feed them. Together, we're building a stronger and well-informed community. Join us and make a difference today.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
On the barrel cheese yesterday, we gained a penny and three quarters to 172 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese up three quarters of a cent. 169 and a quarter, while AA butter dropped a quarter of a cent to 261 and three quarters per pound. This morning, the August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up a nickel, 1796. Right now, the corn market is quiet, soybean market quiet, and the wheat market quiet, starting on a Wednesday. Just a quick market snapshot. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, our high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, nice and clear, we'll drop to 63 for a low. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high of 84 with a chance of thunderstorms tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women continue having problems accessing their health care. We're going to talk about that with Megan Kling. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
One hour from now, we will be talking to State Senator Kelda Royce. 24 hours from now, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan here on the program powered by Up North News, not called Up North News Radio anymore, but, you know, even the host can still make bloopers from time to time. It is a Wednesday morning, July 9th. Nice to have you along. And now two of our favorite guests and one of our most difficult topics in a while. Heather Dubois-Boronon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and child care provider Corrine Hendrickson. Nice to see you both, ladies. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good.
How I'm are sorry. You, I have the New Year's resolution to stop saying, how are you? It's just not a fair question this year, is it? It's just not. Corrine, you were first out of the gate when the budget agreement was announced to take a look at it. You were kind enough to review it quickly on our behalf and let us know at first blush, you know, that there were some good points, but there were definitely some shortcomings, especially the aid only being there for a year in a 2-year budget cycle. Now, some time having passed, is there anything else you wanted to add in terms of your overall feeling on how this state budget agreement leaves the child care industry in Wisconsin?
So now that we've had a little bit of time to reflect, look over it and talk with others across the state to see how it's basically landing and what the plans are, is because of the spin that's been taken by the governor and the Democrats and the Republicans on how much of a win this is, our parents are very upset with us because our rates are still going up, because they see that we got $330 million. And we asked for $480 million, so they're not able to understand that two different things we're talking about. So the continuing funding was the $480 million that we were asking for, and we received $110 million. That gets us through to next June. I am very happy that we were able to, you know, make sure that our federal ARPA interest money is going to be allocated in a good way. However, it's going to be less than what we're getting right now. And what we're getting right now is not allowing us to keep family child care solvent, to keep teachers, you know, teaching, to keep classrooms open. And now we have very upset parents with us because they don't trust us and that what we're telling them is the truth. And that's why we're raising our rates and that's why we're still closing. And so really looking at this in the way we communicate to people, how this is actually impacting people in the real world. And yes, the other funding that's coming through is funding that we have every single year, pretty much. That subsidy money is federal money. It gets allocated every time. That's a lot of it. And again, looking at those harmful policies that were traded, it's immoral, honestly, to be saying that, you know, 16-year-olds should be in charge of classrooms and counted in ratios, and to, you know, take our most vulnerable who are on subsidy and require, if you want to participate in this pilot, to get a little bit more money to have 7 toddlers in a classroom instead of 4. And so it's not getting better.
No. Heather, same question to you. Again, we talked a lot about the special education boost, but there was also, to be honest, a lot not to like about this deal for education advocates. In what ways? Where were the shortfalls? You want to start with general aids?
Yeah, that's where we got to start, Pat. And I mean, I hate to come right out of the gate with a negative, but the truth of the matter is this budget really was kind of a staggeringly and shockingly betraying move from the state legislature that had signaled all along that it was going to move on both special education and kind of meeting minimum aid needs. This is unprecedented. We have, as far back as we've been able to track, never seen a state budget that failed to provide even a penny of new general aid in either year of the biennial budget. So this fall and next fall, kids are going to be going back to school with $0 in new state aid. And let's keep in mind, anything less than inflation is a cut. And so this is a a cut across the board to every single district in the state holding the line. They still get that $325 in spending authority or revenue limit increase that the governor worked into his veto last time. But that's going to be made up at the local level by increasing property taxes. And we predict that we're going to see tons more referenda around the state. There were also some new aids, right? We did, increase special education reimbursement to the highest rate it's been in decades, and yet it's still woefully inadequate to meet needs. An anticipated 42% and 45% reimbursement in years one and two, since they didn't allocate enough money to make sure that those percentages would be stable, they're not guaranteeing those percentage rate, and we predict that it'll probably be lingering in the 30s still. Meaning that Wisconsin may get out of last place for worst state in the nation for how we do special ed, but we're still in the bottom tier, and we're still facing about $1 billion funding gap across the state where districts are going to have to take out of their general aid to cover, the 60% of special ed costs that are going to remain unreimbursed. So it's a crisis moment. And like Corrine said, who gets the blame for this? With politicians taking a victory lap around a trash can right now, people are like, why are my taxes going up? I thought we were investing historic amounts in public schools. They're blaming their local boards. They're blaming their superintendents. They're mad about the right things, but they're mad at the wrong people. And they need to follow the trail of crumbs back to the state house and say, we're not clapping for these. We are demanding adequate aid to actually meet the needs of our kids in our districts. And this budget absolutely did not deliver for our kids.
Heather, let me start you on this one and then go to Corrine. And that is the prospect of, if not this deal, then there would have been no new state budget at all, and the old budget would have simply continued. We've talked about the prospect that there were Republican lawmakers who wanted that and therefore weren't going to support anything. And it's a tough call because you don't have a government shutdown here. You just have the old budget continuing. Yep. Was that a less attractive or more attractive option than what this new state budget ultimately turned out to be?
That's a false choice. Those were not the only two choices our lawmakers had. They had a third choice, which is be the grown-ups you were elected to be, go back to the drawing board and work it out. Create a budget that actually meets our priority needs. If the governor had called the bluff on this and said, absolutely not, we are not sending our kids back to school with zero. We are not letting childcare accounts expire. We are going to invest in prioritizing the priority needs as the people of this state brought them to us throughout this entire budget process, we could have had a different result. I understand that the rhetoric wants us to say it was one or the other and it was all or nothing. But the fact is, that's simply not true. And if we had leaders who were more amenable to doing the right thing by their constituents, we might be having a totally different conversation right now.
Corrine, is that what you wanted to see from Democratic lawmakers and a Democratic governor?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We didn't fight so hard to get people elected to then have them turncoat, basically, and vote against all the things that they said they were going to do. And I agree, they could have just done a Medicaid budget to make sure that we got that funding and then gone back and done separate bills. I also feel like things are going to fall apart now when it's too late to fix it, because they are going to gavel out in March. And while they're campaigning is when these rural schools will be probably looking at consolidation. It's when the child cares will be absolutely falling apart. And had it started already now, there would have been time to do something, because the consequences of their actions would have happened while they were still able to be held accountable to them. So Friday we're doing a Time's Up rally with WPEN and multiple other partners at the state capitol. 9:30 State Street entrance is the press rally, and we are press conference, and then we're doing a rally after, and we are going to be talking about how this budget fails our children, and at the federal level, connecting all the harm that is coming down from the federal level and how our state is not even thinking about doing that. And the childcare specific, we are going to be asking for a special session to finish the job for the $480 million. And we are talking with our partners to see if they want to add to that at all for their request. It's kind of last minute with the whole like pivoting, but we're good at pivoting. And the other thing I want to say is clearly the, in these budget negotiations, they need some teachers to help moderate the discussion and help them learn how to play in the sandbox together.
From David on Facebook, Heather and Corrine are spot on. This is a crisis moment. Our kids, our families, and our communities are being left behind all over the state. I just cheered as Heather declared this budget compromise as the result of a false choice. It's now up to us to change how we organize in places like way up north where I am. If the legislature can't get the work done, we need a new legislature. From Eli, thank you, Heather and Corrine. Backbone is needed by a representation, backbone for the good. But I'll tee up the next question to you this way. From Tony on YouTube, sadly, you can't make Republicans be responsible adults. And I think this is the toughest question to the both of you is to what degree you can be angry with Democrats and at what point does that anger take away from replacing the Republicans who put us in this position in the first place? Heather, I'll start with you.
First of all, my anger is not partisan. Right. My anger is about the failure of the state to meet its constitutional responsibility to its children. The fact that this has become a partisan battle makes me furious. But that politics is our problem, not our fault. And I think as long as we center that political division in our conversations about how we're going to change this, we're never going to have a solution. And that's why our coalition was calling for the governor to just call it out and call a veto this year, because the status quo is not going to change itself. We have seen this cycle again and again and again. And until we do get a legislature where we can have nice things and use our record surplus to actually invest in meeting the needs of our communities, we're not going to get that kind of change. And so, yeah, I think it's true that there are individuals who are digging their heels and there are party politics at play, but we need to rethink the way we do politics altogether in this state. And that's going to take some serious organizing, like the kind that David described in his comment, where we live, putting pressure on and making sure that our elected officials of all political stripes know that we are not going to tolerate behavior that sells us short.
Corrine, just a little over a minute to ask you the same thing about, holding Republicans accountable for the environment, but holding Democrats accountable for how much fight they bring into each budget debate.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what we've allowed to become partisan. The issues we're talking about, our children, our families, our communities are not partisan, never have been partisan, but our elected leaders are treating them that way, and we allow it. And so it goes back to that organizing piece. So the afternoon of our July 11th is actually us coming together, because we'll have people from all over the state to talk about how we can get real people to run real campaigns with real people supporting them while they run for office. But then also once they're in office, they have those real people then to come back to and talk about, and the people that are good at and know a variety of issues, because one person who's elected is not going to be able to know, nor should they know everything about everything, but they should know the people, the real people to talk to, not the lobbyists, not the paid interests, not the comms people, but the real people that these policies will impact and how that will impact them, so they can make a good, solid decision with integrity and honesty.
And again, Corrine, really quick, the Friday X's and O's again at the Capitol, 9:30, you said?
Yes, we're gathering at 9 o'clock. The press conference starts at 9:30, State Street entrance. And then we'll do a march around the Capitol, deliver some letters to elected representatives. So bring letters saying that you want them to finish the job and do it correctly. And then we're lunch is to be determined. We're doing some fundraising for that. Okay. And then also then we'll have our discussion.
Corrine Hendrickson and Heather Dubois-Born on. Thank you so much for all you do. We appreciate it so much. And for taking a little time this morning. Have a great day.
Thanks for having us. Talk to you soon.
You bet. You're very welcome. A local update is next for some of you. For others, a Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin update right here with Jimmy Cuska. And in our 8 o'clock hour, Senator Kelda Royce. I'm Pat Kreitler.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We're talking about Ithaca today, and joining us, Dr. Claire Fetterly, District Administrator, and Dr. Brandon Fetterly, High School Middle School Principal, and Sarah Dilley is here, Ithaca Elementary School Principal. And I think we left off with Claire. You're next up. You're it this time, so we'll quiz you a little bit more here. Since you've been in education, really a lot of things have changed. And
yes.
The whole focus, you talked about that, the school-to-work program, for lack of a better term. But, I mean, you're really getting into that more so now, aren't you?
Yes. We? When I began my educational career, it really felt like we pushed kids into, you know, four-year college. If you want to be successful, you're going to need that four-year degree. And the work landscape has changed a lot. And I think with the advent of AI, it's going to change even more. And getting students ready for that is a very organic one-on-one basis job these days. And I think sometimes it's easy for teachers and systems to get overwhelmed trying to create that. And so having everyone in the same building is a really magical thing, because you start with us in 4K and you finish with us your senior year. And along the way, we have found out what exactly you need and who you are and who you want to be and the hurdles you have to overcome. And we've helped you with that. That's why I want to be at Ithaca, is my office is with the children, and that's not always something a superintendent wants, but I do. And I think it's really important that I know each and every kid and where they're going to, how we're going to help them to get where they want to be.
All your positions are filled in for the
high school? Yes, they are. It is the beginning of July, and I am in awe to say that every single position in the district is completely filled. But yeah, we have two very calm, qualified principals that are going to lead our buildings full of very professional, amazing educators that have so many accolades behind them that I can't even comprehend it. And everyone's ready to meet student needs. And like I said, it's the beginning of July and we're already there. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it, won't
yes,
it?
Yes, it will.
I'm sure when they were interviewing you and you took the job, they probably told you about the Ithaca School Fair that you got to get ready for that. So
yes.
That'll be a little ways down the road yet. But still, you kind of hit the ground running.
We do. And I'm not even there yet.
but you learned about it, I'm sure.
Yes, and yes. Yes. There's so many amazing traditions. And actually, I'm guessing, Brandon, you probably have firsthand experience with some of those things, right?
Oh, absolutely. I will have to give up my spot directing traffic at the end of the parade this year, most likely.
Oh, no.
No. But the idea that Ithaca is one of three districts left in the state that has a fair. And the level of pride, the number of folks that come back, the parents, the grandparents that I see that talk about, you know, when they were part of the fair, the homecoming game in the afternoon, and then the last 2 years I've helped to chaperone the homecoming dance. It makes for a long day. Man, is it a wonderful day.
Yeah, it really is. And it, again, it's an extension of the classroom, isn't it?
Absolutely. You see the kids showing off the projects that they put into the fair from, you know, the kids at Clover Bud level, if I could use 4-H, to the ones that are doing their very last moment at the fair. And the biggest thing that surprised me was the number of tears when the kids realized this was their last fair. As a student.
Are you excited about the new school year, Claire?
I'm absolutely enthralled about the new school year.
What are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, that is impossible to answer. There's so many good things. Like I said, I am really excited that my office is with children. Having worked in Reedsburg previously, I had an office in every building at one point or another. But my last couple years, I had one at Central Office, and I found out that I am not someone that can sit in a building with just adults all day long. So I'm very excited about that. I'm incredibly excited about having these two principals that are with me that have such a rich Ithaca background and history and are equally as excited as I am. And that's something that's really already blown me away is all of the positivity, how excited everyone is. Like I said, the culture is unparalleled. I can't believe that I get to work here. It's so exciting.
Another thing is just crunching the numbers, though, you know, and mm-hmm. making financially things
yes.
work in the small school and the school, you know, that's the plight we live in here yes. in the state of Wisconsin right now. But how do the numbers look for Ithaca?
Our numbers actually look incredibly good without being too optimistic, because you should always approach school finance with a little bit of caution. We are very blessed that we passed a referendum, and so that kind of lifts a little bit of weight. But my mentality around school finance is everything you do, you should be able to explain to someone at the grocery store. And so when it comes to the decisions that we're making with the money, we have to be responsible fiscal stewards of that. We are paid out of local funds, as well as, you know, there's state and federal things that come in too, but it's looking very positive. We're in a really lucky spot, but also I don't want to take that for granted. And I would like to plan for the next 20, 30, 40 years to make sure that stays that way. And so making those decisions now that ensure our future is also fiscally positive, is really important to me.
Yeah, because none of us know what education is going to look like in 10 or 20 years.
No, think of someone that started in 2019 that had no idea COVID was coming and what that was going to look like. So it's impossible to plan. There's always going to be things, but I think if we're, you know, smart, we try and plan ahead as much as we can, looking forward on what that's going to look like. And yeah, like I said, being good stewards of that money, I think then we will have good outcomes.
Great. Well, it's been awesome to meet you today. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming into the studios. Hopefully we didn't scare you away. We hope to
absolutely
have you back
not.
On a
no.
regular basis. Anything else anybody else would like to add here today?
I The only other thing I want to say is it's always a great day to be a Bulldog.
I was just going to say, aren't we all supposed to say go Bulldogs right now?
Go Bulldogs. That's your cue.
That's right.
Well, thanks. Here's to a good school year. We'll see you all soon. So,
thank you.
You bet. Dr. Brandon Federle joining us. Dr. Claire Federle. Remember, that's F-E-D-D-E-R-L-Y. And Brandon is F-E-T-T-E-R-L-Y. Got to get the people educated. And Sarah Dilley. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The death toll rising and the number of people missing from Texas flooding up as well.
At least 173 people now unaccounted for. At least 110 deaths are confirmed, many of them children. 27 girls and counselors were killed at Camp Mystic along the Guadalupe River. Five campers and a counselor still missing.
ABC's Lana Moise, parts of Ruidoso, New Mexico, devastated by recent wildfires, more prone to flooding there. Three people lost their lives in flash flooding on Tuesday. Officials say a tentative deal has been struck between 9,000 union workers in the city of Philadelphia. The union not getting as much money as they'd have liked. The deal still must be ratified, but it will eventually mean trash will start getting picked up again in Philly. Russia firing a record 728 drones and 13 crews and ballistic missiles into Ukraine overnight. Ukraine says it was able to shoot down nearly 300 of the drones. This